Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 37 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And I'm Kinsey Thompson.
If anyone tells you that 525 is not going to really impact our pensions much, that is just not true.
At least six Kentucky school systems were closed today due to teachers' protest of a pension reform bill.
House Republicans are pushing for changes to the public benefit system.
Two Medicaid-related bills are up for consideration in the Senate.
And a bill is heading to the House that would allow Kentuckians to carry concealed weapons without a permit.
A major transportation safety project in Greenup County begins next week.
In sports, MSU hosts senior night tonight at Johnson Arena.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
And an 80% chance of rain tonight, lows around 32 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
At least six Kentucky school districts closed today as teachers called in sick to protest House Bill 525, which passed through the state government committee this afternoon. Nima Brewer of Lexington is the co-founder of the group KY120 United. She says HB 525 is bad for teachers.
This bill, 525, will absolutely begin to shred apart the pension system from within. And if you don't think Matt Bevin's got his filthy hands all over it, think again.
The bill would reorganize how members of the Teacher Retirement System Board are elected. It would diminish some of the Kentucky Education Association's control over the process. WKYT reports some organizations are threatening another sick out now that the bill has passed the committee.
Republican leaders in the Kentucky House are pushing for changes to the state's public benefit system. House Speaker David Osborne says House Bill 3 is meant to spur Kentuckians on assistance toward rejoining the workforce. It would scale back funds for temporary assistance for needy families, or TANF, add a new photo ID requirement for food stamp recipients, and codify the state's Medicaid reforms. Dustin Pugel with the Kentucky Center for Economic Policy says it's a lose-lose for the state financially.
For TANF and SNAP, and to a large extent for Medicaid, those are federal dollars. So by pushing people away or making it harder to use these benefits, which take general fund dollars to do, we're leaving federal funds on the table. So essentially we're spending state money in order to give up federal money.
The bill has been posted in the House Health and Family Services Committee.
Two new Medicaid-related bills were introduced in Kentucky's Senate this week. The bills would require Medicaid to cover dental and optical visits and would restrict copay. If passed, Senate Bill 78 would allow all ages to use the more cost-efficient policy designed for children and young adults. Democratic Senator Gerald Neal sponsored the bill. He says optical and oral care are often overlooked.
For instance, with your teeth, it actually exacerbates other medical conditions and affects most things, such as heart disease and coronary problems and other systemic problems within the body.
Senate Bill 112 would completely eliminate copay. Both bills are now up for consideration in the Senate.
A bill banning abortion procedures after a heartbeat has been detected may become law in the Commonwealth. The measure, which the Senate has already passed, cleared a House committee and is now on its way to the full House. A fetal heartbeat can be detected about 6 weeks into pregnancy. Kate Miller is with the ACLU, which opposes the bill.
We believe that decisions about pregnancy are personal and that they can often be complicated, and that the best person to make a decision about a pregnancy is the person themselves.
The bill is among several anti-abortion measures being considered by the Republican-led legislature.
A bill is heading to the House that would allow Kentuckians to carry concealed weapons without a permit or training. Senate Bill 150 would allow anyone 21 or older without a criminal record to carry a concealed gun. Kentuckians are currently required to take instructional courses and demonstrate a basic understanding of a firearm. Louisville Metro Police Major William Hibbs opposes the bill.
The prevalence of guns on our street is a huge safety risk for the public and the men and women of law enforcement. Allowing people to carry concealed without a permit will encourage more people to carry weapons at all times, oftentimes, as been mentioned, without any training at all.
Several Republican lawmakers also oppose the measure. However, the bill has already passed the Senate.
The Kentucky General Assembly is sending a comprehensive school safety bill to the governor. WUKY's Josh James has more.
Senate Bill 1 creates a school safety security marshal post to oversee safety compliance across the state. It also seeks to boost the number of mental health professionals and school resource officers and mandates new active shooter training. Speaker David Osborne said the issue demanded bipartisan buy-in and praised the school safety work group tasked with developing the recommendations.
With the tragedies that we had seen in Marshall County and around the country, it had become as politically and emotionally charged as any issue that we were dealing with in the country. And they responded admirably, and they responded professionally.
Lawmakers in the House gave final approval to the measure on a 96-3 vote. The bill does not tackle any new gun regulation. It also postpones funding discussions until the 60-day budget session in 2020. In Frankfort, I'm Josh James reporting.
A new bill passed by the Kentucky House would require schools to display the national motto, "In God We Trust." The measure calls for the motto to be displayed in all K-12 schools beginning in the 2019-20 school year. Democrat Kelly Flood of Lexington opposes the bill.
We are a people of many, many glorious faith traditions, and this country is not grounded only on Christian values.
The bill now goes to the Senate for consideration.
A measure that would make owning child sex dolls illegal has passed a House committee. Senate Bill 102 was created after a man was arrested for having child sex dolls, but was unable to be charged for possessing them. Damon Preston is with the Kentucky Office of Public Advocacy, which opposes the bill.
This is a doll. It doesn't have parents. It doesn't feel pain. It is a manufactured doll. If we're talking about more than that, crimes exist for those.
The bill will now go to the full House for consideration.
Carter County schools are closed tomorrow, but although some teachers may have taken part in the sick out, Superintendent Ronnie Dotson says there is an actual health concern. Carter was one of at least six Kentucky school districts to close as teachers called in sick to protest House Bill 525. But Dotson says it could have remained open if it weren't for legitimate sickness.
On a normal day, had we not already had several staff members that were out legitimately sick, then we could have covered the other ones that had, you know, indicated late last night that they weren't going to work, which was probably, although I can't prove it, but it was probably because of the protest.
Dotson says attendance began dropping Monday and was at its lowest Wednesday, prompting the decision to close school tomorrow.
Lawmakers are considering legislation that could slash the salary of Kentucky's highly paid chief information officer. WUKY's Josh James explains.
Hired as the state's information technology chief in 2017, Charles Grindle has taken home a six-figure salary that's raised eyebrows in Frankfort. Thanks in part to a $215,000 raise last year, the longtime associate of Governor Matt Bevin is currently the highest-paid CIO in the nation, according to the Council of State Governments. Bevin has defended the choice, arguing Grindle could earn far more in the private sector, and the Finance and Administration Cabinet says the state has saved millions under his leadership. But lawmakers in the governor's own party worry the $375,000 paycheck is excessive. Republican Representative Bam Carney is pushing a bill that would rein in the salary, but he doesn't see it as a knock on the governor.
It's not necessarily a hit at the governor. I mean, this is an issue that deals with one particular job that I feel like taxpayers, again, are paying more than maybe necessarily need to.
Carney's bill would mandate that the Commonwealth's CIO could not be paid more than the highest-paid CIO in the seven states surrounding Kentucky. It coasted through committee and is on the fast track for passage in the House. In Frankfort, I'm Josh James reporting.
We will be back with more news right after this quick timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from Downtown Moorhead Incorporated and the Kentucky Folk Art Center, presenting the 14th Annual Moorhead Antique and Art Market March 1st and 2nd at the Moorhead Conference Center. Antique glassware, jewelry, furniture, juried art market, and on-site appraisals. Sneak peek on Friday, March 1st from 6 to 9 p.m. and 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, March 2nd. The 14th Annual Moorhead Antique and Art Market, March 1st and 2nd at the Moorhead Conference Center.
The U.S. Department of Justice has found conditions at the Boyd County Jail violated provisions of the Constitution. The Daily Independent reports a letter to county leaders concludes the jail violates the 4th, 8th, and 14th Amendments. The investigation stemmed after allegations of excessive use of the restraint chair, pepper spray, and tasers. One inmate, 40-year-old Michael Moore, died after authorities say he was abused and neglected, resulting in five former deputy jailers being charged with manslaughter. The jail has also been the scene of a riot, drug overdoses, and multiple escapes. Jailer William Hensley, who took office after the alleged violations, says the Detention Center Administration will fully cooperate with the Department of Justice.
The Salado Wildlife Education Center in Frankfort reopens this week. The center is operated by the Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife Resources. Featuring several exhibits and animal enclosures, the center is part of the department's mission to educate the public about the state's native wildlife. Jeff Roberts is a conservation education with the KDFWR. He says the center has also seen some upgrades in the off-season.
So we've actually had two renovations over our winter closure, and one of them was one of our indoor exhibits that we have basically given a facelift to and changed the theme of that exhibit, and it's going to showcase nocturnal wildlife that you can find here in the state. And the other renovation that we had was to our bobcat exhibit.
The Salado Wildlife Education Center reopens Friday. For more information, you can click the Education tab at fw.ky.gov.
A $2 million transportation cabinet project to improve safety along 4 miles of KY2 in Greenup County begins next week. The work will include rebuilding parts of the roadway, replacing cross drains, cutting trees alongside the highway to ensure sight distance and clear zone, and installing T-rails to fix embankment slips. Alan Blair is the information officer for Kentucky Transportation Cabinet, District 9.
It's important to make sure our highways are updated, not only for the increased traffic we see each year, but also for highway safety needs. So we want to make sure that the highways are performing to their best ability for the traffic that's on them right now and in the future. And part of this project is to ensure that the safety of the travelers part of this project is to ensure that motorists are safe when they use this roadway. So some of the work that we're doing will help improve highway safety and hopefully reduce crashes we're seeing in that area.
The work is being done by Mountain Enterprises Incorporated and is expected to continue through the summer.
A man accused of murder in Ohio was sentenced to death this afternoon. Aaron Lawson has been sentenced to death for a quadruple murder, according to WSAZ. He faced 13 counts in the killing of Donald and Tammy McGuire, along with their daughter Stacy Jackson Holston and her son, 8-year-old Devin Holston. The murders happened October 2017 along State Route 93 in Pedro, Ohio. WSAZ says because it is a capital murder case, each charge had several aggravated circumstances that the prosecution still had to prove, even though Lawson pleaded guilty to all charges. While Lawson apologized in court earlier, saying himself that he deserves life in prison, Lawrence County Prosecutor Brigham Anderson said Lawson deserves the death penalty. Taking a look at the extended weather forecast for the surrounding area, tonight, an 80% chance of rain with a low around 32. Tomorrow, patchy fog between 8 and 10 a.m., otherwise cloudy with a high near 47. Tomorrow night, cloudy skies with a low around 37. On Saturday, mostly cloudy skies with a high near 49. On Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 36. And on Sunday, a 90% chance of rain and snow before 9 a.m. with a high near 40 degrees. Taking a look at the temperatures, in Flemingsburg, it is 36 degrees. In Maysville, 38 degrees. Ashland, 40 degrees. Inez, 44 degrees. Lexington, 36 degrees. And right here in Moorhead, 37 degrees.
On our feature segment this afternoon, the Moorhead State University Trumpet Ensemble will compete in a national competition. WMKY's Naya Andwaza has more.
The Moorhead State University Trumpet Ensembles submitted videos to the National Trumpet Competition preliminary judges in December. They were soon selected to compete in the live quarterfinal round. Greg Wing is a professor of music in the MSU Department of Music, Theater, and Dance. He says the ensembles have been preparing for the competition since November.
We started picking out the material for this in like late October and November. And so it took us about 5 or 6 weeks to prepare the piece for the video submissions, and then we had the holiday break. Now we picked it back up in January, and we're trying to put the finishing touches on it. But it takes a lot of desire, a lot of discipline. The kids take it quite seriously in preparing for such competition like that, such as this.
MSU Trumpet Ensemble B will be competing in the large division and will perform Eric Iwanson's Fantasia for 7 trumpets. Ensemble A will be competing in the small division and will be performing Eric Morales's Path of Discovery. Wing says the competition is big.
So the National Trumpet Competition, there are many, many different divisions. You have junior high school kids, high school division, undergraduate division, graduate division, a jazz division, a pro-am division, and a trumpet ensemble division. There'll probably be 400 or 500 students from all across America competing in this national trumpet competition.
The Department of Music has many ensembles, as most private applied faculty have their own individual chamber ensembles. Wing says each year professors make sure students understand the importance in their practices.
The adjudicators are selected from professors and trumpet enthusiasts from around the country who kind of know how to listen critically. And then through a panel of different committees and adjudication panels, they decide which groups they feel warrants being advanced into what we call a semifinals round, and then narrow it down even to a finals round. And there are several thousand dollars on the table for students who win the competition.
The MSU Trumpet Ensemble has never made it into the finals. Although they have submitted ensembles into preliminary competition for the past 17 years, they are hopeful 2019 will be their year. Wing says the experience is just as exciting as the competition.
Most of the students that come to Morehead, they're either going to be music educators or aspiring performers. And it's very nice when they get off campus that they see the bigger picture. They get to see the bigger picture of all the other trumpet enthusiasts and trumpet players from around the country, how good they are, the caliber they have. They get to hang out with them and share ideas. And so my job as a professor is to make sure that I expose them to bigger opportunities for them in the future. That's why it's so very important.
The 2019 National Trumpet Competition will be held on the campus of the University of Kentucky, March 14th through the 16th. For more information about music programs at Morehead State, visit moreheadstate.edu/music. For WMKY News, I'm Naya Andweza.
The time is 4:47. I'm Jacob Lindberg, here with Kenzie Thompson, and we're glad you joined us on this Thursday afternoon. WMKY's Leanne Akers has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes and the Laughlin Building are open to the public, with 6 lanes for birthday parties, private groups, lane by the hour, or per game pricing. Also available is Cosmic Bowling for birthday parties with disco and black lights for that glow-in-the-dark experience. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 5 to 9 p.m., Sunday and Monday by reservation. More information and reservations at 606-776-3457.
The Eagles host Murray State for senior night. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers. The Morehead State University basketball teams are preparing to face in-state rival Murray State this evening. The women will play first during the senior night matchup, and head coach Greg Todd says he's expecting a great game after having faced the Racers earlier this season.
But we played at Murray, and was a good game for us. We hit 11 threes, which is a little more than we normally do, but it was a good night, and they have improved. They're a little bit younger team, and they've won 5 out of their last 6 games, and we anticipate a very difficult game, and looking forward to it.
Tip off for the women will be shortly after Mountain Edition at 5:05 p.m. The men's team is set to face off with Murray following that game. The Eagles faced the Racers on the road earlier in the season. Head coach Preston Spradlin says he's excited to get some perspective on how his guys have grown this year.
Obviously, to finish here at home, it's senior night for us. We're excited for the opportunity. Murray State coming in here. We opened conference season at Murray State. And for me, I'm really excited to see how much our team has grown, how much we've improved and gotten better at areas that cost us a game down there at their place.
Tip-off for that game is set for 7:35 p.m. Morehead State baseball is off to its best start in 35 years. With a 7-1 record, the Eagles are tied with the 1984 MSU team for the best start in program history. Head coach Mike McGuire says the record is nice, but his main focus is making sure the team continually improves throughout the season.
We talked before the season about getting better every month, not worrying about a record, and you know, we got to be better in March than we were in February and so forth. So, yes, I like our record, like where we're at.
Morehead State is scheduled to host New Jersey Tech this weekend for a three-game series. The first pitch of MSU's doubleheader is set for noon on Saturday. After playing its first 11 games on the road, Morehead State softball returns to play next week and opens a lengthy homestand. The Eagles will play 15 of their next 17 games at MSU. First-year head coach Samantha Jones says returning to Morehead could be just the right medicine her team needs to recover from a rough start to the season.
I think it's going to be great being at home, just because obviously that's all we've been practicing on is either home or inside the gym, and so you're kind of used to your territory a little bit and the run of the field and just having those good vibes, especially when you see your own fans in the stands. And I think that's what's going to benefit our girls a lot is just having that home feeling and getting into those good routines that we've started to create already of game day feel at home.
MSU will open the homestand with a doubleheader against Marshall University on March the 6th. They then host Akron for three games before taking a brief trip to Louisville and then returning home for 10 straight. The 16th Regional Basketball Tournament is back in action tomorrow night. The first game of the boys' semifinal action features Elliott County and Ashland Blazer. The Lions stand at 25-3 on the season, and they are so far undefeated in the 16th region. The Tomcats stand at 15-16 on their season, coming off a first-round win over Lewis County Monday night, 56-55. Head coach Greg Adkins says his team is focused on taking that title.
Over the course of the year, I feel like we've been able to do a lot of things pretty well. I like our adaptability. There's been games that we've had to slow down, we've had to grind, and we've been able to do that. And there's games that, if a team wants to get up and down the floor with us, we're really happy to play that pace too. It's basically just the adaptability of our team.
The Battle of the Big Cats tips off tomorrow night at 6:30. The Round County boys are gearing up for their 16th region semifinal matchup with Boyd County. The Vikings went 24-5 on the regular season and took a 54-45 win over Bath County to win the 61st district title. Boyd County went 20-10 on their regular season and beat Ashland Blazer 55-53 in overtime for the 64th district championship. Rowan head coach Sean Thacker says his boys have been in this position before.
This is our fifth in a row, and we've kind of been stuck on this one, getting past this semifinal game, haven't been to the championship game since 2013, and, that's a place we want to get back to. I've always felt like if you could get into the semifinals of the regional tournament, anything can happen. You're one of four teams left in the region, and we've had a great season, but at the end of the day, we want to play for a championship.
Rowan and Boyd tip off tomorrow at 8 p.m. at Morehead State University's Johnson Arena. The Lady Vikings have two more days in the gym before appearing in the first round of the 16th regional tournament at MSU. Rowan's gals face off with Wes Carter in round one. Coach Matt Stokes says the two teams traded wins in the regular season.
We're both real similar with each other. He's got a small, quick group. We got a small, quick group. We play a similar style with each other, kind of a five-out kind of offense and pass, cut, look for, three-point shots, get it up down the floor. So we play a lot alike.
The entire first round of the 16th Region girls action takes place Saturday. Russell and Ashland Blazer play at 12:30. Rowan and West tip off at 2 p.m. Menifee and Lewis face off at 6:30. And Boyd faces East Carter at 8 p.m. And that's going to do it for sports for WMKY. I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball welcomes Murray State tonight. The women's game begins at 5:05 and the men tip off at 7:35.
Tickets available from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks slipped as stronger-than-expected economic data was offset by fruitless talks between President Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 69.16 at 25,916. The S&P 500 was down 7.89 at 2784.49, and the NASDAQ Composite was down 21.98 at 7532.53. The U.S. economy grew at an annualized rate of 2.6% in the fourth quarter. According to the Bureau of Economic Analysis, economists polled by Dow Jones expected the economy to grow at a pace of 2.2%. And U.S. and North Korean officials failed to agree on steps toward North Korea taking down its nuclear armament. Earlier, Trump and Kim, seated together at a conference table, appeared confident about the prospect of improving diplomatic relations. In trade news, White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow said that the U.S. and China are making fantastic progress in their negotiations, and Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin said in a separate interview that both sides have made a lot of progress, but added that a deal is not yet done. In earnings news, shares of HP dropped over 16% after the company posted quarterly revenue that missed expectations. HP also reported earnings per share that matched estimates. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.5% at $57.22 a barrel. Gold was down 0.5% at $1,314.60 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were very quiet today, with the Stock 600 index up less than 0.1%. And in Asia, most markets were down today. The Nikkei was down 0.8%, and the Kospi in Seoul was down 1.75%. And among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Boeing and Pfizer, while the worst performers were United Health Group and Dow DuPont. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Monster Beverage and Universal Health Services, and the worst performers were HP and Booking Holdings. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Dollar General up 30 cents at $118.47, Marathon Petroleum down $1.38 at $62.02, AK Steel down 10 cents at $3.02, Community Trust Bank down 7 cents at $42.78, Anthem down $5.37 at $300.70 a share, and CSX was up a penny, finishing at $72.67. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, one and two numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University. More information at 784-1250.
Americana singer and songwriter Josh Martin and special guest Rachel Messer will perform in concert at the Mountain Arts Center in Prestonsburg at 7:30 p.m. on Friday. Tickets are priced at $15 for general seating.
Taking one more look at the extended weather forecast, tonight an 80% chance of rain with a low around 32. Tomorrow, patchy fog between 8 a.m. and 10 a.m., otherwise cloudy with a high near 47. Tomorrow night, cloudy skies with a low around 37 degrees. On Saturday, mostly cloudy with a high near 49. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a low around 36. And on Sunday, a 90% chance of rain and snow before 9 a.m. with a high near 40 degrees. Taking one more look at the temperatures, in Flemingsburg, 36 degrees. In Maysville, 38 degrees. Ashland, 40 degrees. In Inez, it is 44 degrees. In Lexington, 36 degrees. And right here in Moorhead, 37 degrees.
And that'll do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Joe Lewis, Tanner Boyd, Leanne Akers, Haley Stidham, Logan Pemberton, Wyatt Melton, Naya Andwaza, Sarah Fashipe, Shamari Mosley, Chaz Jenkins, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock, WUKY's Josh James, and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke with your stock report. And our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Naya Andwaza. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Kenzie Thompson and all of the MSPR news team, I'm Jacob Lindberg for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.